Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this getaway Friday, June the 19th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour. And we were talking about the gypsy moth in hour number one. And I so appreciate your participation. The people who called in hour number one, I thank you. You know, don't be scared to call into the program. I run into a lot of people out in public. You don't have to give your name when you call in. You can just call in and tell me I'm right, tell me I'm wrong, or fill me in the spots where I have no idea what I'm talking about, which a lot of things, because I am not a gardener. I am not an agriculturalist. I don't know any idea. I went to a city school. I have no idea about the gypsy moth or anything like that. I just know they're going to be spraying, and it's quite possible I might catch some disease from the gypsy moth. No, I'm kidding. I got the postcard. It says it's not harmful to humans. But, oh, James Anderson, somebody suggested last hour that if James Anderson's listening, I know he's a faithful listener of this station. James, if you're out there, help me with the gypsy moth, or if somebody out there knows James Anderson and would like him to call in and explain this, have him do that. It's open phone lines all morning this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, let's see here. You know, there were some things that I wanted to bring up, and for some reason, I could not get them to come up yesterday. Now, I'm not going to say where these came from or... I'm going to leave this one here for a second, but I'm trying to figure out, because I want to get into the conversation as well today about... I can't read this joke on the air, but here's what I'm going to say. I just got a very funny joke from somebody, and I appreciate that. I love to see things like that. So I hope if that person's listening right now, that's funny. Keep on sending stuff like that. That is, that's interesting. I think that's meant to be a joke. I don't know. Yes, I think that's a joke, but it's very funny. And I think we have to laugh. I think that is our goal here. And I want to say this too, by the way. This has been one of the greatest things as of late, and I want to mention this. As many of you know, last week on this program, we had Amy Evers Roston, Charlie's granddaughter, Charlie's daughter, on the program last week. And, this person, Amy, is so much like Charlie in keeping abreast of things that are going on. And she has started to send me updates of things that are going on, and I love that because I am not necessarily that type of person. It could be because I don't have kids or maybe just because I don't have that genuine type of curiosity, but I so appreciate when she sends me little things that are interesting. So I want to thank Amy for doing that, and hopefully it continues on. And we're going to get Amy back in here at some point to do some shows, because I think that would be a lot of fun. Now, we are... Oh, here comes a phone call. Let's hope this is something of just high interest. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. This is Nashville's James Anderson. How are you?
James, how you doing? Were you listening this morning, or did somebody call you?
I was listening. I'm on my way to the Tallgrass Trail.
Oh, they're out to the Tallgrass Trail today. That's anything going on out there today?
Yeah, we're doing our Kiddos at the Park outdoor preschool program, but it's a virtual on the Facebook Live on the Tallgrass Trail page.
Oh, great. So what time does that start?
At 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock this morning? All right, so 10 o'clock, people will be able to see that on Facebook. Now, James, I don't know if you were listening this morning, but I got this postcard yesterday about the gypsy moth.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on here? What is this thing?
So the gypsy It's been in Ohio for a very, very long time. It was introduced in the eastern United States, and it got into Ohio. And the caterpillar, the larvae stage, they eat everything, and they have been known to destroy some forests. And so they've been trying to control it for quite some time. Well, they've kind of found a new method. And what they're doing is when they're going to be spraying, it's going to come down, it's going to land on the caterpillars, and it's going to kind of mess them up a little bit. And the goal is so they're not in breeding, and so then they won't multiply. It kind of works, but I know it's not 100% effective. I actually went to a meeting back in February at the Pleasant Township. The Ohio Department of Agriculture had a representative, and he was talking to all the residents, because I know they were going to spray around Pleasant region as well.
That's interesting. So our big worry with the gypsy moth is that it's going to eat everything.
Yeah. They eat all kinds of our native trees.
That's fascinating. So why do we have a problem with them? We didn't used to.
Well, they've always been a problem, but sometimes, I don't know, there's some years that they multiply a lot quicker and other years don't. It just depends on the right environmental conditions. But it's just they're starting to notice in some areas of Ohio they're worse than others. And I just know the parts of Marion, they're starting to notice they're starting to increase. Because you'll notice, especially like along Sawgrass Trail, there's kind of these weird triangular boxes, and somebody from the Department of Agriculture comes out and monitors them. Because what it is, it produces a pheromone, and it's supposed to attract mainly male gypsy moths, and then there's a sticky trap inside, and then they get caught. Again, it's somewhat effective, but not 100% effective.
That's interesting. So people are worried, though, this stuff that they drop from the sky, now is it going to be harmful in any way?
Well, what the guy said at the Pleasant meeting is, he said it, no, it's organic-based. Apparently, it's some type of fungus that they have found, and they're able to liquefy, and I think that's the basic science, I guess, he was trying to explain to everybody.
So it doesn't kill the gypsy moths we have, it just stops them from mating, right?
Yeah, it just stops them or kind of postpone them from mating, yeah.
As I was saying earlier, James, why don't we just marry them off? That'll stop it.
Yeah. The problem with invasive species, boy, they're very hard to control, both animals and plants. Like at Sawgrass Trail, we have a very bad problem of bush honeysuckle. And it looks nice, especially in the winter. It produces all these berries. Well, the problem is it's like candy. Like I tell the kids, yeah, you might like candy, but candy's not really good for you. So invasive species can cost a lot of money to control.
You know, I have the list here of things that it is not going to hurt, like humans, animals, fish, honeybees, birds, or plants. What does it affect? Does it affect anything?
What the guy said is just supposed to be the gypsy moth. They've learned to, I guess, genetically modify, or it just attacks the gypsy moth. And yeah, he said it's supposed to not hurt other wildlife. But then there's been in Columbus, especially the Butterfly Society, they've said that this probably does hurt some of the local native butterflies. So it's an interesting topic.
It certainly is. Now, do you think because of the political correctness of our society that we're going to have to change this from gypsy moth to traveling moth?
Oh, maybe.
You know, we're full of that these days, James.
Yes.
Well, hey, I thank you so much for the information, and at 10 o'clock this morning, people can watch the live stream on Facebook, right?
Yep, on Marion Tallgrass Trail page.
Or come out to the Tallgrass Trail if they like with their kids.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This weekend is free fishing weekend in the state of Ohio, where you don't need a fishing license in any public waters.
Free fishing weekend in the state of Ohio tomorrow and Sunday. And, James, just for people who don't know, where is the Tallgrass Trail?
So the Tallgrass Trail starts off of Holland Road, right around the corner of Whirlpool. But our lake is off of Her Road, so if you don't want to walk a half mile down to the lake and just want to fish, we have a parking lot there off of Her Road.
All right, James, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Scott.
Bye-bye. James Anderson, our naturalist here in Marion, heads up the Tallgrass Trail out there, does a tremendous job with that, and gave us a little tutorial there this morning on the gypsy moth. Apparently, Friday, June 19th is Gypsy Moth Day here on WWGH Radio, all because of a little index card I got in the mail yesterday, a little postcard. Do people send postcards anymore? You know, it would have been nice if they would have put a picture on this or something. You know, I like postcards that you can keep. This is not a keeper. I mean, I'm glad they're letting me know that the gypsy moth is coming, but it certainly is not a keeper. Does anybody have any opinions now that we've heard from James Anderson? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'll be here for 5 hours today, so I love any participation that you might bring to this program. And we will do some trivia later on. Now, let's see. What else is on the agenda here? Well, I still don't know. Do you water in the morning or do you water at night? We've got the annual and the perennial figured out. Annuals, once in a lifetime they come up. And perennials come up every year. But when do you water these things? Do you water them in the morning? Do you water them at night? Now, I was at somebody's house the other night and they were watering them at night. And I don't think that's right. I think you have to water them at sun up, not sundown. I think they had it wrong. And then I was at somebody's house the other day, and they had, I think it was ducks. Was it ducks or geese? I can't remember. Ducks or geese were laying eggs in their area that they normally put flowers. So apparently that's why they did not do any flowers this year. I don't know if that's true, because I'm not sure what putting eggs in an area, why that would stop you from putting out flowers. Just not in that area. How big of an area could there be with duck eggs or geese eggs or anything like that? Go ahead, caller.
I water my tomatoes 3 times a day.
3 times a day?
Yep. First thing in the morning, and then usually mid-afternoon, I'll give them a little water when it's a real hot, sunny day. And then at nightfall, then I'll give them a little drink.
Now,
tomatoes are wonderful.
When do you plant your tomatoes?
I planted them May 17th.
May 17th. Now, if I wanted to get in on this at this point, can I still plant my tomatoes now?
I planted some yesterday.
Oh, so it's still okay to plant tomatoes.
It takes about 6 days for them to you get tomatoes. So, yeah, you've got plenty of time.
Why? So I need to water them in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. 3 times a day.
When you plant them, make sure that when you dig your hole, you water it good, and then put some fertilizer in the hole, and then put your plant in, and then put your dirt on it, and then put some fertilizer on the ground.
That's interesting.
It'll get a good start.
That's good. Well, hey, thanks for the information.
Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you're breaking up. I can hardly hear you.
Okay, yeah.
There you go. Now you're better.
All right, go ahead.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Give me that again.
When you plant them, you dig your hole. You need to go about 8 to 12 inches deep. Put water in the hole, you know, soak it good, and put some fertilizer in the hole. Then you put your plant in, cover it with dirt, and then put some more fertilizer on the ground and then water. And that way it gets a good start, and then the fertilizer you put on top of the ground will soak in and will fertilize it. I fertilize it once a week.
Oh, that's interesting.
A few of the granules on the ground once a week, and every time I water, a little bit goes down into the plant. Not enough to burn it out, but it's, I get wonderful tomatoes. In fact, I've got tomatoes on my vines already.
Hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, because I think I'm going to try that this year.
It works. It works.
Now, how many tomatoes will you get to a vine per season?
Depends on the plant.
Like 7 or 8?
You're breaking up again.
Uh-oh. I think we lost our caller there. But if you get to a better spot, give us a call back, 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any tomato planting advice. Because I would like to do this. I do like tomatoes. I like most vegetables. But I think my ineptness in the plant world, I think I might be able to do tomatoes. I think this is something I could do. I'm going to become a gardener. I decided last night that I think I'm going to move to Arizona and become a gardener. This is what I've decided. So I've got to learn how to deal with these tomato plants. Because I think that's what I'll be planting a lot of, tomatoes. Tomatoes and strawberries. I hear those are the good things you want to plant. But, here's something interesting. Now, I've heard that these fried green tomatoes are very popular. But people make them differently. Now, I've heard two different ways of making fried green tomatoes. One involves that Drake mixture. Do you know what I'm talking about? That Drake that you use for onion rings and things like that. And then others say, no, you don't need that Drake mixture. You just need oil and a skillet. So does anybody have a good recipe for fried green tomatoes? Because can you use regular tomatoes? I'm sure you can. Just fry up a tomato. Because what is the difference between a green tomato and a red tomato? Or an orange tomato, I guess it would be. What are the difference between these two tomatoes? And does anybody have a good recipe for what was called fried green tomatoes, or fried tomatoes in general? Now, the recipe I understood was you slice the tomato, and then you put it in that Drake stuff, you know, the powdery Drake breading stuff, and then you get some Crisco? Vegetable oil. You get some vegetable oil, you boil that on your stove in a big pan, and then you salt it just a little bit. It depends on how much salt you want on it, I guess. Salt the tomato before you drop it in the boiling vegetable oil. Drop it in the boiling vegetable oil, and the Drake stuff will congeal around the tomato, and there you'll have fried green tomatoes. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Yes. Yes.
Okay, on the tomatoes.
Yes.
You told your worker, take your tomatoes, get sliced, take flour, put salt and pepper in the flour, mix that all up, roll the tomato in the flour, and then fry them. And then you fry them as brown as you want, or whatever color you want.
So you just
take a couple on each side.
You take flour, salt, and pepper.
Yeah.
And you
mix that all together, and then roll your tomato in it.
Roll your tomato, and then just cook
it in
the
oil.
Do you drop it in the vegetable oil, or do you cook it like a hamburger?
I put them in the skillet and cook them right on the skillet.
Just on the, so you don't boil them in vegetable oil?
No, I don't boil it. I just get it hot.
Just get it hot.
Drop it in, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, I got one more for you.
Oh, go ahead.
The yellow squash. Oh, yellow squash.
Yellow squash, sure.
You take and slice those after you clean them, or you slice them, and you do the same thing that you do with the green tomato, and they are delicious. They taste about like a green tomato after they get fried.
So you can do the same thing with the yellow squash.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I know yellow squash are not very expensive, so I'll take a look into this.
Oh, yeah. Just cut your ends off, and then slice it and put it right into the tomatoes.
Well, that sounds good. Hey, thanks for the recipes.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right. Does anybody else have anything like that? I'm interested to know. 740-383-9944. 34 minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday morning. I don't know. I think, what is the difference between a regular tomato and a green tomato? Now, I know you're sitting at home right now and you're thinking, this guy is an idiot. How could he not know that? But it's true. I don't. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hey, Scott, the way I do my fried green tomatoes is just what my mom taught me. And I just put a little butter in the skillet and slice them however thickness you want, really. And a little salt and pepper, and let them fry up. And I do the same thing with zucchini.
So all you have is butter in your skillet?
That's all I have, and then a little salt and pepper. But that's, I mean, it comes out good. I've eaten a lot of them.
Now, does the, so your version, the tomato would not have any breading on it at all, right?
No. In fact, I like it a lot of times without the breading.
Right. But now, have you had the fried green tomatoes with the breading?
Probably not, because this is just the way we was taught.
Right.
You don't want to change the recipe. At least I have. They're good.
Do you just eat them plain, or do you put them on a bun?
No, I eat them plain.
Just eat them plain. So now, what is the difference? Could you do this with a regular tomato?
Well, I don't know. I don't usually fry a ripe tomato, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, I just wonder, what is the difference between a regular tomato and a green tomato?
Well, apparently the green one is not ripe yet. I mean, you know, as far as changing colors.
So it's just because it's not as soft.
Oh, it's not a full green tomato is just, they're kind of hard, really. But you just slice them up. I usually cut the corner. I mean, the core out of it, where the stem would go, because I don't usually eat that. But I just slice them thin. And they're really good.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, I thank you for the recipe.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, 36 and a half minutes past the hour, talking about fried green tomatoes, or could you fry a ripe tomato, an orange or red? You know, tomatoes, I think, are supposed to be red, but they really are more of an orangish color. But I thought that fried green tomatoes were supposed to have some kind of breading on them. I thought that's what the whole thing behind it was. And I thought it was kind of like an onion ring. You ate it like a side. Now, I don't know. Are you supposed to put it on a sandwich? Is it a sandwich unto itself? I don't know. Does anybody know the answer to this or have any recipes like this? Give me a call, 740-383-9944, 37 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, I will be with you through 1 o'clock this afternoon with all this fascinating talk that we're having here. And I see, now I think this is real talk radio. I think this is the stuff we should be talking about. I do know that for love nor money this week, as much as I've talked about breakfast food, as much as I've talked about all these breakfast products, I have not been able, for whatever reason, to obtain any kind of breakfast food myself. Now, not that I'm asking. I'm not asking for any breakfast food. I'm just saying that it hasn't happened. Now, does anybody have any feelings on why a duck or a goose laying eggs on your property would be a big issue? I don't know. I've never heard of this. Now, I'm hearing from somebody now that they love fried green tomatoes. I guess this person has never made them. So I don't know. How do you make a fried green tomato? That's what we want to know. We want to know how you make a fried green tomato. Any more ideas? We've had some recipes here this morning. Maybe we'll put together a nice recipe book. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. And I just don't know about this goose, duck, egg thing in the front yard. I don't know why that would prevent you from planting flowers. Now, don't touch the eggs of the goose or the duck. But I think other than that, you'd be fine. Now, why I have no eggs and no sausage and no diet soda, that's a whole nother thing. Because, you know, I believe McDonald's stopped serving breakfast here in like 50 minutes. And this is a whole thing in and to itself. But you know what? I'm not a complainer. And I'm not asking for anything. I mean, it's just one of those things this week. I don't know what's going on. It's a funny, funny week in that particular way. So, let's see. Okay, anything more on the fried green tomatoes? Give me a call, 740-383-9944, or anything more on the gypsy moth, give me a call. Now, on to the subject that we were talking about yesterday. Because this was interesting. You know, things come to this show first before anywhere else. And I learned that yesterday. Because we were talking the other day about Aunt Jemima changing the pancake mix and the syrup after 130 years. And now Uncle Ben is being looked at. Is he going to change? Are they going to change the Uncle Ben boxes? Mrs. Butterworth is under investigation. We learned that yesterday, that that might be a change that is coming up. And now, let's see here. And now we know, well, yesterday somebody said, well, what about the cream? One of our callers about this time called in and said, well, what about the cream of wheat man? What about the cream of wheat man? Well, wouldn't you know it, yesterday, probably 2 hours after this show went off the air, we've now learned that they're after the cream of wheat guy. So he might be leaving very soon. Now, does anybody have an opinion on any of this? Because it's interesting times we're living in, and everybody's talking about it right now. 740-383-9944. I'll tell you, you better get to the store. These could be collector's items. Mrs. Butterworth, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, and the Cream of Wheat Man. And as I was saying yesterday, I used to like cream of wheat. I had to eat it in a certain way. But I have not had anybody make me cream of wheat. Isn't that awful that I have to have people make it for me? I probably could do it myself, but that takes the fun out of it. I have not had anybody make me cream of wheat since Who Flung the Chung. And how I used to like it was you'd make the cream of wheat, and then you would put just some butter in it, the actual cream of wheat. You put some butter in there. You'd put a little bit of sugar in there, and then you would make a bunch of toast, because it's no good without toast. You'd make a bunch of toast, just toast and butter, nothing elaborate on the toast side. So you'd make toast and butter, and then you dip that in the cream of wheat, and that was your breakfast. I have not had this made for 5,000 years. And now they're going after the cream of wheat man. And I wonder, you know, are we going to have to lose all the cream of wheat boxes and the guy on the cream of wheat box? And I don't know where this is all going, but it's an interesting time to live in. Now, does anybody have an opinion on this, Aunt Jemima or Cream of Wheat Man? Or I don't. Now, see, I would love to tell you what his name was. Now, in the beginning, I read yesterday that he was called Rastus. Now, this is a derogatory term, apparently, as kind of a dumb character of a certain color. So I don't even like saying that. But apparently, yes, the Cream of Wheat Man's real name was Rastus. And then somewhere along the line, that character got dismissed, and it was turned into the embodiment of a chef. Now, I forget, I think his name was Frank something. So I don't know who's on the cream of wheat box. And I was reading up on Uncle Ben yesterday, and I'm not sure that that really is offensive, because it's my understanding of Uncle Ben that that all came about because there was a gentleman down in Texas who used to grow really great crops. And the people in Texas used to say, wow, we want our crops to be like Uncle Ben. And that's where the name Uncle Ben came from. So I'm not sure that that really falls into the category of being a derogatory character. Now, I did read that Uncle Ben was modeled after a maitre d' in Chicago. So maybe that's the derogatory part. I don't know. Now, Aunt Jemima, now you've got to say, whether or not you're a for or against the end of Aunt Jemima, you've got to say that that is not the best depiction of anybody. It's just not. Whether you want it there or you don't want it there, I can see how that could be offensive. And Mrs. Butterworth, I'm not sure about Mrs. Butterworth. Mrs. Butterworth did not come around till the 60s. So I'm not sure that Mrs. Butterworth is... I don't know. I'm not sure who Mrs. Butterworth was modeled after. So I don't really... I don't know. It's very, very strange. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Why Mrs. Butterworth is under investigation? Or was it any shock that the Cream of Wheat Man is now under investigation? What is offensive about Uncle Ben? Now, I understand the Aunt Jemima. That goes way back. I get that. There was actually a character who was portraying Aunt Jemima. I understand that. But these other three, Uncle Ben and Mrs. Butterworth and... the Cream of Wheat guy, educate me. What is the derivation of these that is bad? Somebody let me know. 740-383-9944. All right. Now, somebody's sending me a message here. I don't even understand what this message means. It says, like with an egg wash and breadcrumbs. That sounds terrible, but also like you use it shredded wheat? I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't think I was talking about shredded wheat. I think I was talking about cream of wheat. Cream of wheat. I'm not even sure this person's listening, to be honest. I think maybe one ear's open and the other ear is out to lunch. Because I was talking about cream of wheat, not shredded wheat. There's a big difference between cream of wheat and shredded wheat. But you know what? I need to go to the store. I'm just not good. I went to the store yesterday and I spent too much money and forgot everything. I wanted to get a box of cream of wheat and I wanted to get a bottle of Aunt Jemima syrup and I wanted to get a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth. Because I think they'll be interesting to have around, and a box of Uncle Ben. Because I don't think any of these things will spoil, but I need to get out and get these things. Because I bet they're flying off the shelf right now. They're just flying off the shelf. Now also, oh good, here we got a call. This will be good. Hopefully this is some kind of opinion on this whole subject. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, so the egg wash is for the fried green tomatoes.
The egg wash is for the fried green... Now, what? First of all, what are you talking about?
You had asked how to make fried green tomatoes, right?
I did. You're right.
So that's how you make them, like with how you bread anything, like how you bread chicken or how you bread anything that you want to fry.
I thought you just put it in that drink mix and threw it in vegetable oil.
What drink mix?
You've never seen the Drake with the goose on it in the grocery store? Are you on a speakerphone right now? Are you calling a radio station on a speakerphone?
Is this better?
Yeah, what were you doing? Walking around the room while you were trying to give me advice?
No, I'm also working.
I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, I don't mind that you're on the speakerphone, but don't walk around the room.
I'm not walking around the room. I'm
okay.
Multitasking.
You're better now. Okay. So, no, Drake. Haven't you ever bought Drake at the grocery store?
No.
You've never you've never made homemade onion rings for the kids?
Yes, it's like, well, no, I've never made onion rings for the kids. No, but we do breaded things. We use like breadcrumbs and an egg, like dip it in egg wash first and then breadcrumbs and then you put it in.
No, see what Drake is. I did not realize so many people didn't realize what Drake is. Drake is a pre-made breading that you would use on onion rings or really anything like that, but I know it's especially onion rings. And what you do, it's like a powder. It looks like flour. It's sold in the grocery store, I think, in like the flour aisle. It's a little box. It's got a duck on it, and it's called Drake. And what you do is you take it home, and you put it like on a plate, and then let's say you're making onion rings. You cut the onion up, and then you get the onion wet so that it sticks to the Drake powder, and then the Drake will stick to it, and then you drop it in the boiling vegetable oil, and you'll get an onion ring.
Okay, so that's sort of the same thing, except for getting them wet, you put them in, like, an egg wash. Like, that's how you get it wet. So you just crack eggs and dip stuff in the egg and then dip it in the breadcrumbs.
So you dip it into the egg, like, leftovers?
Ew, no, like, crack a couple of eggs and, you know, mix them up as if you're making scrambled eggs in a bowl. Dip them in there, like, coat them with both sides, and then put it in the breadcrumbs, and then you can fry it. And you can add in, like, probably like salt and pepper, whatever else is going to season it to make it taste good.
So you think that's how you make fried green tomatoes?
It's something like that. Like, I don't have a recipe. I've never made them. But I remember, like, my grandmother made them and my mom made them. I just have never tried, I guess.
So
all the things I make, that's a little surprising, right?
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Because I do really like them.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm having a heart attack right now. Now, how do you eat your fried... I don't even think I've ever had one. It sounds good, but I've never had one.
Well, like with a fork? Is this what you were getting at?
Yeah, with a fork. That's what I was looking for. No, and the cannibals used to eat them with their fingers.
I mean, like, are you thinking, like, do I dip them in something?
Do you dip them? Is it like a side dish, like an onion ring? Do you put it on a bun? Do you eat it like a hamburger? That's what I'm asking.
I don't eat it like a hamburger. I do not put it on a bun. I suppose it's like a side dish, but I remember her making them. We would just, like, have them for lunch or something. Like, she would just, you know, just a small, like, maybe not a whole meal, but like a lunch or snack of sorts, I suppose.
Now, can you use real tomatoes? Do you have to use green tomatoes?
We always had green. I don't know. I can't answer that. I suppose, like, the red ones would get mushier, maybe?
Okay. Well, now,
maybe the green ones are less ripe and it's a little better. I really don't know. I'm not sure.
Now, explain this to me. What is shredded wheat? What are you talking about, shredded wheat?
You were treating it like gravy. You dip toast in it. So it's definitely like having, like, you know, biscuits and then opening them and putting shredded wheat on top. That's like biscuits and gravy type style you're doing there.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't talking about shredded wheat.
Well, yes, you said you dip toast in them.
No, cream of wheat.
But didn't you say you dip toast in them?
Yeah, you've never had cream of wheat?
No, that doesn't sound good to me at all. I've had, like, cocoa wheat.
Well, how do you know you don't like cream of wheat if you've never had it?
The same reason you like didn't like sausage gravy and you never had it.
See, I don't think that's true. No, seriously, the only thing different about cocoa wheats and cream of wheat is that cocoa wheats has chocolate in it.
Right, and I'm not saying I like the cocoa wheats. I've had them. We used to have to eat them when we played outside. We'd go inside, and my stepmom would make them, and we would have to eat them.
So it was like a force play.
I mean, that's how I remember it. That's probably not how they would tell the story, but that's definitely how I remember it.
No, I'm done. Cream of wheat, people think they won't like cream of wheat, but the truth of the matter is, if you make it right, which you just boil it on the stove, and then you put a little butter in it, not much, and then you put a little milk in it, and then you put a little sugar in it, that's all. Don't sugar it up so it tastes like cereal. But then you get your just toast and butter, and that's all, and you dip that in, and it actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Well, that's nice you're open to try things. You have an open mind on this whole thing.
Look who's talking.
But you wrote shredded wheat. Now, at what point did you think it was shredded wheat?
It must have been a misunderstanding of my multitasking here.
Well, I didn't realize Friday mornings were such a busy morning for you.
Oh my God. Well, I've already been to Dublin this morning. I've already had CPR class this morning. You know what time? You know how long I've been at it today already?
So you could now save somebody's life.
Oh, it was just a recertification. Yes, I've had it.
You know,
time.
I have a question about this because years ago I became pretty good friends with Dr. Heimlich, and people.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I was friends with Dr. Henry Heimlich, and you know he lived in Cincinnati.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah. You doubted that, didn't you? You doubted I was friends with Dr. Heimlich.
I still doubt that, yes.
No, it happened. Okay. So, Dr. Heimlich, but he was always taking a lot of incoming for being, that his method was not the right method. That's not how you were supposed to do things because you'll break people's ribs and it's a whole problem.
Well, here's the thing. You're still going to break someone's ribs.
Why do you have to break somebody's ribs?
Like CPR or the Heimlich maneuver? What are we talking here?
Well, I'm just asking you, what method would you, let's say right now that I don't have anything here to eat to choke on, but let's say, hypothetically, that I had a piece of sausage or some eggs here and I started to choke, what would be the proper way to save me before the ambulance came?
Are you by yourself? I mean, because if you're by yourself, you're supposed to use like a chair. Right?
A chair. Okay, well, do tell. Yeah, okay. What do I do? I'm alone, and I need saving.
Yeah, so you would have to find something that's, like, you know, about the height where you would, you do the Heimlich maneuver, you know, somewhere, like, sort of in the middle, like, upper part of the belly, right? So you need to find somewhere where you can, like, try to dislodge it yourself. I mean, before you pass out and hope that somebody comes to save you, I guess.
So you bend over a chair, and you start jamming the top of your stomach into the chair?
If you can, yeah, whatever's going to, like, compress right there to help you, you know.
Oh, that doesn't sound pleasant. Now,
it doesn't.
No. So what if somebody else is in the room? What's the process?
The same thing. I mean, I think for a while it was called, like, what is that? Like, instead of the Heimlich maneuver, they called it something else. Like, I don't know. Like, I forget what it was called, but they called it the Heimlich again today. So everybody's familiar with the Heimlich maneuver. That didn't go away.
So it is the Heimlich maneuver.
I think so. I think it still stands.
And this is a special training class?
Well, we have to be renewed, like, every 2 years. So it was, you know, during the whole COVID thing, you know, we had some of that fall behind. So, yes, we have a trainer come here and train us, everyone.
You know, I'm surprised you don't like cream of wheat, because I've heard that was very big in Kentucky.
No, that'd be, like, is that, like, grits or something? Like,
it's very similar to grits, I believe.
I don't like grits either, so...
Oh, who? So what is your...
I've had them, though. I have had grits.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. So what's your least favorite food? This is fascinating to me now because, you know, you jumped all over me because I didn't like certain foods. So I'm interested now that you have dissed cream of wheat. What's your least favorite food?
Maybe cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese?
Yes. Like, I find it so... just not even a little appetizing.
Have you ever had my cottage cheese dish?
Well, no, of course not.
Right, because why would I make it for you? But it's very good. It's whipped cream, cottage cheese, and Jell-O.
That sounds absolutely awful.
No, it's very popular. You know what?
With who?
All people.
No, I don't think so.
People with good taste. So what you do is...
I'm open to try things, you know this, but, like, I don't know. I don't know that if I can try... I really don't know if I can try a cottage cheese dish. I don't know that I could.
So what's your favorite fruit?
My favorite food is, like, I love pasta. I love pizza. You know, those are probably my favorites.
Do you know what my favorite food is?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if I actually know what your favorite food is.
Yeah, give it a try. Let's pretend this is a nice moment.
Let's see. Scott's favorite food. Bacon?
Bacon? Oh, no. When have I ever said that I liked bacon? Somebody please get me some bacon.
I feel like you were excited about there being bacon at Wendy's, though.
No, that was just an argument I was having with somebody because I did not believe that Wendy's served bacon.
But you were excited about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they do, that's great, but I don't think that they do. I still really don't think that they do. I've never been there, so I really don't know. I know they put bacon on their cheeseburgers.
Right. So food, like, I don't know. I mean, for breakfast, you want your sausage and pan, or sausage and eggs, I'm sorry. And then for lunch, you like your salad.
That's good.
But I don't know. I guess for dinner-wise, I mean, the only thing I think we've ever shared for dinner is pizza.
Well, you know, pizza's good. Now, do you know what I would like on my pizza?
Hopefully you say pineapple and pepperoni.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That I don't like that Hawaiian pizza.
I don't want Hawaiian pizza. I just want, like, regular pizza with pepperoni and pineapple. That's my favorite. And dipped in ranch.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite pizza, if I'm going to have it, I either like pepper. I'm a pretty traditionalist. I like the pepperoni pizza. But I also like It depends. I like sausage and mushroom. I like that, so I can eat that if it's there. But I really do like, for some reason, they call them green peppers, but they're not really green peppers. They're more mangoes that they put on there. I do like those. Yeah, for some reason, they have no taste to them, and I'm not sure why I like that. But they have no taste, but I think it's more basically just a cheese pizza. But I don't know what my favorite food is. But cottage cheese, whipped cream, and Jell-O powder. You just dump the Jell-O powder in with the cottage cheese and the whipped cream, and you're off and running.
I have heard you mention this concoction before, but just none of that sounds good.
It's not a concoction. It's a recipe.
It's curdled milk. Like, that's disgusting.
Everybody loves cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is the food of the gods.
Well, I don't know about that. What are you bringing me for lunch today?
You know, I still, no breakfast ever showed up. And frankly, we're at the point now where McDonald's is going to stop serving at 10:30. Now, how has this happened all week that here I am, you know, working a 5-hour shift, and I
don't. You realize what time my day started this morning, and I've already done all this, and I'm coming there. So I feel like it's time for you to order lunch this time.
Well, that's debatable at this point. But I'm saying that I do not have any breakfast. And it's starting to annoy me. I thought one day it would show up this week. But, you know, whatever.
Not only have I not had breakfast today, I didn't even have Starbucks this morning.
Well, you should run right down now and get some breakfast. It's 10 o'clock.
This is how early it started. This is how early my day started. No, I can't.
I can't. What are you doing there? Shuffling papers.
No, I'm working. I have other people in class right now, and then I've got to get lunch ready, and then I've got to get cleaned up so I can get down there.
clean up before you come over. Yeah, thank goodness.
Not myself, the food.
The food, yeah. Well, thanks for calling in, but it's cream of wheat, not shredded wheat.
See, to me, it feels like it's all the same thing.
It's really not. If you looked at the two, you would know what I'm saying.
Okay, Mr. Spears, I will see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Wasn't that fascinating? We're going to break. Be back. And the producer told you that he had a gun.
Oh, he had a gun.
He had a gun.
Yeah, he carried a gun. Well, you know, they went to rob him. They wanted him. They didn't want to rob the